Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are discussing the move by Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa and his counterpart Mokgweetsi Masisi of Botswana on scrapping passport requirements. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. In a sign that the United States is getting increasingly concerned over the number of civilian casualties from Israel's military campaign in Gaza, President Joe Biden delivered a public rebuke to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, even as he maintains staunch support for Israel. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Widakuswara has this report.
Another market destroyed in Gaza, this one in the Jabalia refugee camp. The level of civilian casualties is making U.S. President Joe Biden increasingly concerned.
We have made it clear to the Israelis and are aware that the safety of innocent Palestinians is still of great concern. And so the actions they're taking must be consistent with attempting to do everything possible to prevent innocent Palestinian civilians from being hurt, murdered, killed, lost, etc.
Israel is losing international support over its indiscriminate bombings, Biden said during a campaign appearance earlier Tuesday, his sharpest public criticism. According to a White House transcript, he said Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu needs to change his coalition and empower the Palestinian Authority to become a partner in the peace process. He singled out Israel's far-right National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gavir, who opposes a two-state solution. Biden's comments came as 153 countries voted overwhelmingly in support of a UN resolution demanding a ceasefire. 10 countries opposed the measure, while 23 abstained.
Our duty is to try to save the lives who are still alive by having this resolution adopted and by forcing Israel to comply with it, and those who are shielding Israel to comply with the global consensus.
The vote followed a similar UN Security Council resolution Friday that failed due to a U.S. veto, a position that critics say damages Washington's interests beyond the Middle East.
But also where we are arguing, for example, in the United Nations to gain the support of the Global South for our condemnations, our just condemnations of Russia's abhorrent invasion of Ukraine. We are also going to lose votes if we are seen to be hypocritical, if we are seen to be walking away from our
General Assembly resolutions are non-binding but carry political weight.
UN officials, the majority of UN member states, are simply looking for every means possible to create a sense of moral pressure on the US to change its posture.
Israel and its supporters say a ceasefire will only benefit Hamas, allowing them to regroup for future attacks on Israel.
It's allowing Hamas to have a legitimacy that it hasn't earned. It's giving trust to terrorist leaders who have proven unequivocally that they are not trustworthy.
Following Hamas' October 7 attacks in Israel that killed at least 1,200, responding strikes by Israel in Gaza have killed more than 18,000 people by Palestinian count in the bloodiest campaign of the decades-long conflict. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
U.S. lawmakers called for a tougher stance against Iran Tuesday as the conflict between Israel and Hamas threatens to expand across the Middle East. Iranian proxies have launched more than 90 attacks against U.S. forces since October 17th, 10 days after the Hamas terror attack on Israel. Some Republican lawmakers are demanding that the Biden administration impose stricter sanctions on the Islamic Republic. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Jepson has more.
just days after Iranian-backed Houthi rebels attacked the U.S. in the Red Sea. Iran's foreign minister warning the U.S. over its policy in Gaza Tuesday.
An uncontrollable and unpredictable explosion could take place at any time. This is what the Americans haven't realized until today. And if they don't realize it soon, the consequences will strongly affect the United States.
On Capitol Hill, Republican lawmakers saying the Biden administration's policies have encouraged Iranian aggression.
Iran has been emboldened to throw its weight around the Middle East from Yemen to Gaza, with it or its proxies directly attacking U.S. military sites and warships, essentially without consequence.
Republicans criticized the Biden administration's deal to unfreeze $6 billion in assets earlier this year in return for the release of five hostages.
When this government releases money to Iran or relaxes the enforcement of sanctions, it is funding the very terror operations directed against the Iranian people, the people of Israel, and someday soon, I am afraid, against the people of the United States.
The No Funds for Iranian Terrorism Act, freezing that $6 billion transfer, passed with bipartisan support in the U.S. House.
If, God forbid, Iran gets an advantage, the government gets an advantage by seizing an American hostage, after those hostages are released, we should try to take away the advantage they got. This is not a legitimate deal when Americans are held hostage.
Lawmakers said protests led by Iranian women show that regime change will ultimately come from within the country.
The women of Iran in particular need to be called out for their bravery, for their vision, and for their willingness to stand up for not only their future, but for freedom of every Iranian.
U.S. lawmakers reintroduced H.R. 100 on Tuesday, expressing the U.S. Congress's support for a democratic, secular, and non-nuclear Iran. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
Back to our main topic. President Emmerson Mnangagwa announced last week that he agreed with Masisi on scrapping passport requirements between their countries to allow people to travel with just identity documents. Following this, Zimbabwe Information Minister Jenfani Muswere announced yesterday after a cabinet meeting that the government has directed the Minister of Home Affairs to work on modalities of the passport-free travels. The free passport travel plan is said to be part of SADC's integration process, which aims to strengthen socio-economic cooperation as well as political and security cooperation of southern African states. Botswana reached a similar deal last month with Namibia, and Masisi said he also plans to discuss the issue with Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema. Although it is a welcome development, some analysts are calling for tighter security scrutiny of the identity cards, pointing out that criminals may take advantage of it for their own benefit. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing plans to scrap passports between Zimbabwe and Botswana. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Dr. Ruramai Tadu of ZANU-PF, who is based in Botswana, Mr. Dennis Juru of the Cross Border Traders Association, and also Mr. Trustin Glovu of Citizens Coalition for Change, who is based in South Africa. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Good evening. Thank you, Kandaviri.
Thank you so much. I think we have lost Mr. Juru. We are trying to reconnect with him. But let me start with you, Dr. Tadu. We have heard about this arrangement between President Emmerson Mnangagwa and President Mokgweetsi Masisi of Botswana, which to some Zimbabweans, if not most Zimbabweans, it's a welcome development. What's your take on this, Dr. Tadu?
Thank you very much, Mr. Kandemiri. This is a very welcome development. Looking at it from quite a number of aspects, but focusing mainly on economic integration and also allowing us, ourselves as Africans, to be able to move across borders and do business much more easier than it is with passports. The issue that you raise and the anxiety that people have regarding this matter just needs to be unpacked. Because the use of the ID is almost the same as the use of the ID, because the passport was not turning anyone into a citizen of any country. And it is the same thing as an ID in terms of the way that it's going to be used. It's not going to allow Zimbabweans to come and stay in Botswana illegally, or Botswana to go to Zimbabwe and stay illegally. There's still going to be some controls. That is why you had the minister and the president say modalities still have to be put in place.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tadu. Please do stay on the line. We are now joined by Mr. Dennis Juru of the Cross Border Traders Association. But before I go to Mr. Juru, let me go to Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Ndlovu, you heard what Dr. Tadu said, and also there are fears that this will create a problem for the two countries, especially Botswana, with Zimbabweans seeking greener pastures there. What do you say about this?
Good day once again to all your listeners. I think the process of creating passports and allowing the two countries to use their identity documents is a welcome gesture from Mr. Masisi, the Botswana president. And one would have also expected a reciprocal act from our own Mr. Mnangagwa in terms of, listening the issue of those who are applying for passports, instead of making them so expensive, because we are expecting people to integrate since there is a free trade agreement where goods are trading. I think it's a good thing to me, but I also want to add that there are advantages from both sides. From Botswana, they're creating a market for themselves, because we have a lot of Zimbabweans in most of these informal border cross-border traders. Most of them, they are coming to South Africa, they are going to Mozambique, Zambia, they are using passports, and it's a tedious process. But if they are going to be able to go to a country like Botswana, where we're just using their ID documents, then it is going to be very easy for them, and it is going to make life easy for them. So it's a reciprocal process, and it's a welcome thing.
Thank you.
But of course, like I have indicated, we still have challenges which can be ironed as time goes on.
Thank you so much. Mr. Juru, you heard what these other two gentlemen said. And I also want to hear your take on this development, considering that you head an organization or you lead an organization of cross-border traders who ply between Zimbabwe and Botswana.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners. We welcome that move by both governments. We do appreciate it has been a stumbling block in our business as cross-border traders. You find that there are some traders who were not able to go to Botswana due to some restrictions such as producing a certain amount of money before you can be allowed entry into Botswana. So for us as cross-border traders, it is a good move in our favor. Also, it will assist the Botswana government to be able to know the number of foreign nationals who are in their country, as it would be very, very simple for travelers to just produce an ID document to just register their entry into Botswana. So it will be simple for the Botswana to have a proper baggage. But to us as cross-border traders, we welcome that. Whoever came up with that idea, we really appreciate. We also expect countries like South Africa to follow suit, countries like Zambia and what have you. We can see that we are now going the European way, and we have been appreciating the European way because it helps. I think it is also the beginning of our free trade in Africa. So we really appreciate, and we're going to see a reduction in queues because it will be a very, very simple process. Unlike when you're asking for days, you negotiate for days, they refuse, you ask for more days and what have you. Mm-hmm. So when you are using your ID, it's going to be as simple as, doing nothing.
Thank you so much. Dr. Tadu, we've heard some who are saying that this deal will benefit Botswana more in terms of sales and labor. They are saying that if Zimbabweans have been flooding Botswana before this passport-free arrangement, it means that more Zimbabweans will be going to buy goods and commodities in Botswana, and also going into Botswana and slipping into farms and all that to do those other illegal employment jobs. What's your take on that?
Thank you very much. The idea is not to make an illegal move. The intention of the government is to facilitate trade and movement, with the very assumption that all the people who are coming to Botswana who will seek employment will be documented and will get visas to work. Now, that may not happen, but the intention is not to facilitate illegal movement of cheap labor into Botswana. You said Botswana will benefit at the moment more than Zimbabwe. It's a function of the economic status of the two countries. At the moment, it's relatively cheaper and easier to work and stay and live in Botswana. But as the Zimbabwe economy gets stronger and manufacturing takes place and jobs are created, you will find out that only people who have seen the comparative advantage in moving into the other country will then move. So we cannot be able to judge the success of this very noble initiative by our leadership based on the economic situation of Zimbabwe or the economic situation of Botswana, because it's a function of time, it's a function of the current situation of sanctions that Zimbabwe finds itself in. Mm-hmm. So the people who are coming to work in Botswana They will still be controlled at the border, whether you're using a passport or using ID, in terms of the number of days that you stay in the country and also the need to obtain a visa. You may still get some people who then sneak into farm illegal work there, but it's an illegality. They will be arrested. They'll be running away every day from police. And I'm sure the intention is not to create illegal migrants. But those who want to come and work in farms or work anywhere in Botswana, they must do the formal way, get their visas. It's all what we are saying is this move will create a system of easier movement of people.
Thank you.
Who at the moment can't come to Botswana because you need 200,000 to have a passport.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tadu.
$200 to have a passport. Sorry about that. $200 to have a passport.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tadu. Mr. Ndlovu, there are some who are saying because of the economic status, the Zimbabwe's economic status, people will be rushing to Botswana more than Botswana coming to Zimbabwe to buy or to do business in Zimbabwe. So they think that this will give Botswana an upper hand. What's your take on that?
Oh, yes, those people are not very far from the truth anyway, but because we understand that our country and Mr. Mnangagwa has very little to offer in terms of employment for the Botswana people. But the fact remains that the country, Zimbabwe, has a better infrastructure, has better economic resources to such an extent that if by any chance the country develops, and I agree with the doctor from ZANU-PF there, that if the country can produce and build factories and manufacture goods, then it will be mutually beneficial. But at the moment, yes, it's just one way. Of course, the Botswana are also not blind on the say on this. There is an economic factor for them to benefit at the moment. Remember, a lot of these people who are coming to buy into South Africa with visa restrictions, with the passport issues, challenges, they will flock to Botswana and in good numbers. So they are actually getting a market, a good market from Zimbabweans, the Botswana people. So they will be able to sell a lot of goods to improve their GDP, to improve their economy through the Zimbabwe has got a better buying power in terms of population compared to Botswana. Mm-hmm. So I think it is both sides.
Thank you so much. Mr. Juru, we have heard Zimbabweans going to Botswana or crossing into South Africa complaining of long wait time at borders. Do you see this move lessening that burden for Zimbabweans traveling to Botswana?
Thank you. Depending on the kind of mechanism they're going to implement, we are not yet sure of how they're going to implement this. We are still waiting. But to add on, I think Mr. Masisi, because this is Botswana idea, it's not about Zimbabwe. I believe that Zimbabwe was also invited to be part of a Botswana program where they are willing to allow foreign nationals to come into their country without ID. And we need to think, why is the Botswana government embarking onto a certain move? I believe that Botswana is trying to take the Dubai way, where there is 70% of people in Botswana, in Dubai, who happen to be foreign nationals, and only 30% are people from are locals in Dubai. So the population in Botswana doesn't attract any investor unless someone wants to do mining. You know, there's no one who can be attracted by someone can be attracted by investing in Harare than investing in Botswana as a country. So I think Botswana is trying to have a greater population, a large population, improve their population. No matter it will be foreign nationals contributing more as far as population is concerned. So I think that's the idea with the Botswana government.
Dr. Tadu, pindurai tinzwe tanzwa zvataurwa na vajuru vari kuti zvinhu zvakanaka hongu asi havasati hawa ziva kuti zvichafambiswa sei nemitemo iri kutarwa sezvamambotaura pakutanga kuti hamusati maziva kuti hurumende ichabuda nei asi nyaya yehupfumi vajuru navandlovu vataura kuti zvinhu zvakanaka muzimbabwe dai kuri kuti hurumende inenge yafambisa zvinhu nemazvo zvairerukira vana vezimbabwe nokuti vekubhotswana ivavo vangadai vari vanenge vachitoya kuzimbabwe nokuti zvinhu zvinenge zvakagadzikana Dr. Tadu
ndizvozvo chaizvo zvamuri kutaura izvozvo ndati paya mamiriro eupfumi akaita Zimbabwe pari zvino mabasa anowanikwa nevanhu mashoma pane vanhu vari kuvatsvaka but vanhu ivavo vakauya kuno kubotswana pane mamwe mabasa emhando yekuti vari kuawana but hazvirambi zvakadaro mapolicies ari kuitwa nezimbabwe government at the moment we have already seen kuti industry iri kutosimuka nemapolicies avari kuita izvozvi maroads ari kugadzirwa anoda vanhu vasina maskill akanyanya anodikwa anoda vanhu vanogona kushanda nemaoko avo vaine simba saka inyaya yekuti pari zvino mabasa ari kuzimbabwe haasi kukwanira vanhu vari kuada asi hazvirambi zvakadaro in no time I'm sure it's a question of saying vanhu vanouya kubotswana vanhu vari kuuya kuzotenga nekutengesa vanoendawo kuzimbabwe vanhu vari kunotenga nekutengesa but vanhu vanotyirwa kuti vangangozadza kunyika dzevamwe vachagara munyika dzavo nekuti unenge usaoni chazvinobatsira kunogara kunyika yevamwe kuti kuna kungowana basa irori munyika mako okuti hurumende yedu ndo zvairi kutoita izvozvo
Thank you so much, Dr. Tadu. We are still trying to bring in callers, and I hope we'll be before the end of the show. We have one or two callers coming in. Let's hear from Mr. Ndlovu. Van Ndlovu, Muchiripo Kaparunare. Yes, Mr. Ndlovu, can we see this happening between South Africa and Zimbabwe, considering how South Africa is tightening its borders?
Well, at the moment, we cannot say it will happen soon. Because remember, there is a question of political settlement in Zimbabwe. There is a long-standing political impasse in Zimbabwe. The issue of legitimacy is preventing the country to develop. Yes, we've got resources, but we don't have proper leadership. We've got a challenge of leadership, a challenge of good governance, a challenge of politics. If we can heal our land on politics, we will then be able to match or to appeal to South Africa. Well, South Africa has got a strong bulk economy at the moment versus its surroundings. But for now, they've got an issue. The people, ordinary people in South Africa are very angry. They do not understand why we got a lot of immigrants from Zimbabwe in South Africa. So they think that even all these ailments, even all these challenges they have in South Africa is because of Zimbabweans in terms of employment. They can't get jobs. They can't get enough
services. Thank you so much. Mr. Juru, your last word. Can we see this happening between Zimbabwe and South Africa?
Not anytime soon, because South Africa looks like they are even, South Africans in general, they are even against foreign nationals. So if the South African government can attempt to do this, we'll see more go to the streets protesting against the people.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's time to thank our guest, Dr. Ruramai Tadu of ZANU-PF, who is in Botswana. Mr. Trust Ndlovu of Citizens Coalition of Change, Citizens Coalition for Change, who is based in South Africa, and Mr. Dennis Juru from the Association of Cross-Border Traders, who is also based in South Africa. This is Jonga Kandemiri saying good night. Make sure that you enjoy your festive season.